Father, we know that Satan is the god of this world, but he has already been defeated. And yet there is a remnant that is here that seeks to cause chaos. But you have given us a word of wisdom on how to evaluate the world which is around us. Evil is on the rise, but your righteousness is soon to come. I would ask, Lord, that you would give us your heart and your powers of perception to really decide, is this good? Is this not good? Is this just? Is this fair? Is righteousness being installed, or is corruption coming into bloom? I ask that you would help us to discern this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I have seen both secular and religious people say that Trump does not have the biblical authority or the constitutional authority to attack Iran. I want to read something for you. I think you guys are familiar with it. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear to the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So it has been set up for us that governments have been established by God, and they're supposed to rule and reign in righteousness. The way that our government is set up is the ultimate authority in our nation is not the president, it is not the judiciary, the Supreme Court, and it is not Congress with both the House and the Senate. The highest authority in the land is the Constitution of the United States. So with that Constitution, we look at it and we say, does Trump have the constitutional authority that we are supposed to be submitted to go in and attack Iran? Well, Marco Rubio has said, the president can launch limited military action to defend U.S. interests or troops without a declaration of war. He said the strike was preemptive and in self-defense. U.S. intelligence believed Iran was going to attack American forces if Israel struck Iran. Rubio said the administration complied with the War Powers Resolution of 1973, which requires the president to notify Congress within 48 hours. It also states that the military action must stop after 60 days unless Congress authorizes it. Reagan, Bush, and Obama all used it, and it was not unconstitutional for them to do so, except Obama went over the 60 days, but nobody ever said anything. And by the way, it was never declared by Congress to be a war in Vietnam. Did you know that? Also in Iraq, it was never declared to be a war over there. And yet we were there for years and years. So obviously there's some people in Congress that are not following the Constitution. But what Trump has done constitutionally here, he gets 60 days to do whatever he wants to do as far as a military or kinetic action around the world. And like I said, I have heard theologians say he doesn't have the right constitutionally, and I think that is incorrect. And by the way, you're going to have to check me out on this stuff. Don't just believe it because I'm telling you this. Also, morally, does he have the moral right to attack a country like Iran? Well, For us, we're supposed to look at Scripture and say, were there wars in Scripture, like in the Old Testament? Yeah, there were plenty of wars. And God told them, go to war and reduce these people to dust and level their cities. God did that repeatedly in the Old Testament. He also judged his own people, but that's a discussion for another time. And so when we look at that, we have to examine Scripture and ask ourselves, is there anything or any time morally for a just war? Is it ever justified to go to war? Well, Thomas Aquinas, he was an early church theologian, he had three conditions for a just war. The first one is you had to have the sovereign authority to do it. Only a legitimate ruler or state can declare war, and not private individuals. It's like this also. The government has the right to take life. We do not have that right just to take somebody's life and be the judge and jury. Now, self-defense is another matter altogether. That's why it says, thou shalt not murder, not thou shalt not kill. And so an individual who is involved in a just war must have the sovereign authority to do it. And the Constitution of the United States imbues the president with the ability to go to war. After 60 days, it must be declared by Congress. They must declare war, so to speak. Secondly, there must be a just cause. The enemy must have done something wrong and deserves a response, like defending against an attack, recovering stolen goods, or punishing wrongdoing. And I think all of us would agree, Iran deserves some punishment for what they have done. Then there's the right intention. The goal must be to advance good or avoid evil, not revenge, greedy, or glory, or try to gain land. What country has started a war because they want to gain land? Russia. That is an immoral, illegal, it would be unconstitutional if they had a constitution. He is sinning in the eyes of God for what he has done, and he will pay dearly at the judgment for that. Now, justifiable reasons to go to war: self-defense against an unjust aggressor, protection of an innocent person from harm, recovering property or rights that were wrongfully taken, punishing a nation that has committed grave injustice, and restoring a just peace. Now, this is all Thomas Aquinas. And again, he existed over 1,500 years ago. There are some key limitations that he put into this, and they are, even a just war must be a last resort. You don't use it as a first resort. And if we're looking at the Iran conflict that we have right now, Trump tried to negotiate on several levels. We have tried that ever since 1979. And it hasn't worked. And the violence used must be proportionate to the threat. Now, what kind of threat were we and other nations around the world facing from Iran? A nuclear bomb. They made it very clear they were going to get a nuclear bomb and they're going to set it off. Oh, also, he said that clerics and clergy were forbidden from fighting. Now, I don't think that that would apply to me. Not that Thomas Aquinas is the end-all, the say-all of who can or cannot go to war. In the Revolutionary War, pastors took off their cloaks and they went to war as well to defend life. And I think that is permissible. And the ultimate goal must always be peace and not conquest. Again, Russia is guilty of that. So constitutionally and morally, I believe so far, and again, this is my opinion, how I interpret the Scriptures and what it has to say, then there's biblically. Government has the ability, according to Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, to wield the sword. In other words, they can take life. They have been imbued by God with these directives and rights and responsibilities to make sure that evil is suppressed and righteousness is brought to the forefront. Now, I've given you just a skipping across the pond view of these issues. It's much more in-depth, this discussion, than what I've presented here. But there are politicians and Christians that have declared their opposition to what's going on in Iran. Now, is this attack on Iran a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? If you've been paying attention to what Christian leaders have been saying, they say that this is a fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 34 through 39. And this is about Elam. If you want to put not the verses up there, but the map. Now, Elam, that is here, you can see it outlined, and it is in the Persian Gulf. If you're looking closely at this, you can see the Straits of Hormuz. You see how on the bottom it kind of peaks up and then comes back down? That's the Strait of Hormuz, where oil tankers are going through that area. And Iran said, well, China can go through there, but nobody else. But this is an ancient map. And this ancient map shows that Elam was part, and the Elamites were part of what is known as Persia. And they existed all the way back 2500 BC. But they also existed at the time Jeremiah wrote this. But they had been a defeated and diminished people at that time. But there was still a prophecy against them. So this is the prophecy. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning Elam. Early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, this is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will break the bow of Elam, the mainstay of their might. I will bring against Elam the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. I will scatter them to the four winds, and there will not be a nation where Elam exiles do not go. I will shatter Elam before their foes, before those who want to kill them. I will bring disaster on them. Even my fierce anger, declares the Lord. I will pursue them with the sword until I have made an end of them. I will set my throne in Elam and destroy her king and officials, declares the Lord. Yet I will restore the fortunes of Elam in the days to come, declares the Lord. So again, Elam was devastated and attacked before Jeremiah 49 was written in about 640 BC, and Jeremiah wrote about 600 BC. You remember the numbers go backwards. So about 40 years later, it was Jeremiah who wrote about Elam, and this seems to be a future event. Now, we know that the people of Iran are not going to be scattered all over the earth. Trump especially and other nations want them to be there, want them to be a nation. Just stop with this heinous stuff of killing people and subjecting the citizenry to forced compliance, whether it's in dress or speech or whatever they might do. And so that has not been fulfilled here. Was there a fulfillment before? Some people say, yeah, it was Babylon that did it, and they came in and they kind of dispersed the people. But maybe this is a reconstitution of the area of Persia, specifically Elam. And there's Elamites that are still in the area that you can trace their descendants all the way back. But if somebody wants to say, well, this is a fulfillment of prophecy, I have another issue with it. Iran, which is Persia, needs to be a vital military country to fulfill Ezekiel chapter 38. Because in Ezekiel 38, Persia is going to go with Magog and come down and attack Israel. I'm going to read that to you. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Gog, who is the prince of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Now that everybody believes, most people believe that that is the area directly north of Israel, and that would be Russia. And I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaw and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Now, Persia, which is Iran, Cush, which is Sudan and Ethiopia, and Put, which is Libya, will be with them, all with shields and helmets. And Gomer, which is Turkey, with all its troops, and Beth Togarmah, which is the area of Asia Minor, northern part of Turkey, from the far north, with all its troops, the many nations with you. So if you want to say this is a judgment on Iran, they're going to be scattered, I don't think so much. And even if they are, they have to be reconstituted in order to go with Gog and the other countries and invade Israel. So if somebody says, this is definitely a fulfillment, not so much. Could you say maybe? Well, maybe. But if I were a betting man, I wouldn't put any money on it that this is the fulfillment of that chapter, both in Ezekiel 38 and Jeremiah chapter 49. Now, the bigger picture. What I'm attempting to do here this morning is I've started out with a biblical worldview. You look at it and it's just like line upon line, precept upon precept. This is what we're supposed to believe about ourselves and about the world. And when you're making a tapestry, you set the first lines of thread parallel to each other on a loom. And on that loom, you start incorporating threads from the side. You'll throw some in, you'll add a little color here and add a little color there. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. And I want to make sure I don't lose you, because I'm going to make a tapestry. And in this tapestry, you may look at look at that yellow over there, and you can forget about what's going on over here. And you've got to press away and look at what is going on globally with your biblical worldview out front. If we don't do that, we cannot really truly make an assessment of right and wrong. Hopefully, when I get all done with this, you will see the tapestry at a distance. You won't focus on this thread and that thread and this little pattern. You will see the whole thing, and you will better be able to judge whether what Trump and the United States and Israel are all doing, if it's righteous, if it's good, if it's a failure, if we're going to get in trouble. We can kind of assess where this is going. Now, we need to be informed so that we can better judge about what is taking place with the president. And as I just said, you have to go out from the tapestry and look. It's also like a 30,000 foot flying, looking down. Skip Isaac had a book, The Bible from 30,000 Feet. You know, it's like you get up and you just kind of skim over the top, and you can see what's going on. And I am going to run the risk here of sounding like a political commentator. And I know that. My job as a pastor is to teach the word, make disciples, inform the body, and help everyone to judge fairly the world around them from a biblical perspective or from a biblical worldview. In order to do that, in this case, I have to give you some of the politics of what's going on. Now, in such a time as this, it is necessary to pile on some relevant information so you can judge accurately for yourselves. And you're going to have to test me on this and do your own research. Please do not just believe what I'm telling you. Now, I endeavor to always find out what's going on in the world for your sake, because I can teach what we need to look out for, what we need to be prepared for. At least I can get a sense of it if I'm using my biblical worldview. So, we are told in Scripture to pray for our leaders. And I do not believe that we can do that intelligently or specifically unless we are informed. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all peoples, for kings, you could say for presidents, and all those in authority, Congress, the judiciary, governors, mayors, everyone, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, you can't just throw out a blanket prayer. Father, protect the president. Father, give Congress wisdom. But, you know, it helps to focus prayers. If you have a broken leg and somebody says, let me pray for you, brother or sister, Lord, may their attitude be good. No, Lord, would you heal the broken leg? And you focus your prayer on something specific. And that's why I'm going to give you this information. Now, accusations from several pundits and influencers are out there. Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Matt Walsh, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, they are all, quote unquote, mostly on my side of the aisle. I recognize what they have to say. I like listening to them, especially Matt Walsh. I love listening to Matt Walsh. I don't agree with him on his Catholicism. I think the Catholic Church, he wants the Latin Mass. And I've always thought, does God understand better if you speak in Latin than if you just speak in English? And they want to get rid of the Vatican II designation and how they're supposed to carry on. But anyhow, I like Matt Walsh. I like Megyn Kelly. Candace Owens, she's kind of gone off the deep end. It's just my opinion, and I'm telling you, it's my opinion. Tucker Carlson, too, he seems to be going down that same road. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, I really don't know what has happened to her, but this is what they have said, at least Megan, Matt, and Marjorie. Our government's job is not to look out for Iran or for Israel. It's to look out for us. And this feels very much to me like it is clearly Israel's war. That's Megyn Kelly. Matt Walsh, he's responding to Rubio admitting that Israel's plans influence the U.S. involvement. He said, he's flat out telling us that we're in a war with Iran because Israel forced our hand. This is basically the worst possible thing he could have said. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene. On American soldiers dying, I can also support President Trump on many great things while disagreeing on bombing Iran and getting involved in a hot war that Israel started. Now, the focus of the media and the influencers is on a regional conflict. It is Israel, it's Iran, and the United States. And they stop there. Is there something else going on that they are not talking about? I will tell you, yes, there is. I've endeavored over the last week to really dig deep on kind of what's going on. And I will tell you right up front, I believe this is a ruse to focus on Israel, which is supposed to be the tail that's wagging the dog, which is the United States, to attack Iran. That there's this cabal of Jews that have gotten into the cabinet meetings or whoever, influencing people, and we are doing the bidding of Israel. Now, set that aside. If we bless Israel, we will be blessed. That's scripture, and you can find that in several places in the Old Testament. And so you don't even have to use that to see that there is some, what would you call it? What kind of word? It's like a red herring. I don't know if you know logical fallacies, but it's like a red herring. Pay no attention to what's actually going on over here. I'm holding this red fish, and pay attention to the fish. Don't worry about this. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You guys have heard that, right? And so it is, for them, it is this regional conflict, and we're going to lose lives. But what is Trump actually doing and the people that are with him? They're not really talking about it anywhere in regular media. You won't see it. And they are not talking about it either. Now, I don't believe any of these people, whether it's Matt or Megan or Candace, I don't believe they're dumb. I think they're pretty smart. And I don't know why they haven't put a couple of these tapestry weaving colors into their plan. It's like either they don't know or they're ignoring it. Now, what am I talking about? Well, has Iran been a threat to the USA over how many years since 1979? The answer is definitely yes. Do you know how many Americans they have killed in direct conflicts? There are six that I could list for you. In those conflicts, over 1,000, some people say 900 to 1,300 Americans have been directly killed by the actions of the Iranian regime, the mullahs that are over there. And that's not to count the thousands that have been injured by what they have done. So are they a threat to the United States. Well, let me give you a couple of these. The Beirut Marine Barracks bombing in 1983, 241 service members were killed. U.S. Embassy bombing in Beirut, 1983, 17 Americans were killed. The Khobar Towers bombing in Saudi Arabia, 1996, 19 U.S. Air Force personnel were killed. Iraq war militia attacks in 2003 to 2011, we had 603 U.S. troops killed. Proxy attacks, you know, by Hezbollah and Hamas and those types of guys, there have been several U.S. citizens and contractors killed. And Americans were killed in Iran back terror attacks on civilians. Like the TWA Flight 847, the hijacking in 1985, or October 7th, the Hamas attack. 40 Americans died in that attack. So I think that we can say confidently that Iran is an enemy of the United States. Now, the Secretary of State assessment on Iran said that they intended to attack the U.S. interests this year. According to the statements from Secretary of State Marco Rubio in early March 2026, Iran did intend or was expected to attack American interests this year, 2026, at least in a conditional or retaliatory sense. Their intelligence said they're planning to do it. Now, I heard Marco Rubio's speech, and he said, do you think we're going to wait until they get 1,000 more missiles made, because they're making more missiles? Or should we go in doing a preemptive strike because they hate us, they want us dead? What should we do? And I can see the justification of going in and stopping the efforts of the Iranian leadership. Now, is Iran considered an existential threat to the USA and other countries? Well, to the USA, I would say tangentially or indirectly, they are a threat to us. But certainly to Israel, they are what they call an existential threat. They could die any day if Iran had a nuclear weapon. So they could stop existing, so to speak. Now, the USA has been called the great Satan and Israel the little Satan by the mullahs in Iran. And they preach death to America in the mosques in America. I don't know if you've seen some of those videos that they translate, and actually some of them are in English. Now, a very common slogan in Iran is first Saturday, then Sunday. What that is referring to is first Saturday, which is a Sabbath for the Jews, and then Sunday, which is the United States, which they consider a Christian nation, and we meet on Sunday. It originated, this phrase, back in 1936 through 1939, an Arab revolt, and later it was popularized by Bernard Lewis, that wrote in a commentary magazine, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people. So this has been around for a long time. They have declared their intentions to kill us and to kill Israel. Now, let me give you a summary. And it is the Islamic regime. It is a threat to the U.S. and to Israel and to other nations around the world. Is this the case? Well, yes, it is. Did you see all the missiles that they fired at the nations surrounding them? Some say 8 nations, some say 12 nations, but they were firing just the other day. Dubai airport closed down because they bombed the airport. And by the way, we're going to Africa, and people from Australia are landing in that airport. They may or may not make it over there because of the conflict. And also we have individuals from Russia, and they're landing in the United Arab Emirates. So you want to be praying directly that the conflict will be wrapped up by then and those airports will be open. But going on here, religiously, death to America and death to Israel is a frequent chant in mosques. Iran mullahs, particularly the hardline clerical leadership of what is known as the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, those figures in there who dominate the regime, explicitly believe that they have a religious duty to wage jihad against oppressors. We are the oppressors, and Israel is the oppressor, such as the United States and Israel, the little and the great Satan. In doing so, they aim to hasten or facilitate the apocalyptic reappearance of the 12th Imam. or Muhammad al-Mahdi, whom they regard as their awaited Savior and Messiah. For us, do you know who this is? It's the Antichrist. What they think is their Messiah, we think is the Antichrist. And in order to usher him in, to help the process along, they believe they have to go and attack. Not necessarily make war, but have these terrorists attack. Bring the violence, and then the Mahdi will come. That's their idea. That's their thinking. And so they are enamored with death. That's why they send the suicide bombers out there to really bring this thing along. So the summary so far. According to the information available and based on my understanding, the president has a constitutional, moral, and biblical authority to attack Iran. The attack may or may not be fulfilling Jeremiah chapter 49. I think it's probably a stretch to conclude this. And then the radical Iran regime is a direct threat to the USA and specifically to Israel and other nations around the world. And there's always been a conflict for 1,400 years between the Sunni Muslims and the Shia Muslims. Iran is Shia. The rest of the Muslim world, almost all of it, is Sunni. And one says, no, that the next guy who's the head needs to be picked by consensus. And the Shia say, no, it has to be in the physical line of Mohammed. We need to choose somebody from that. And they've been warring, sometimes armed conflicts against each other. And it has not stopped. Now, with this summary, I am not the final authority. This is like the third time I've said it. I'm not the final authority on these matters. And it is necessary for all of you to dig further into these points I have made. But there is a final aspect I would like to reveal to everyone. It is the tapestry looking back. What is going on? I believe, and I've heard this phrase by several people, that Trump is playing 3D chess. Have you ever seen a 3D chessboard? It has different levels on it, and you play through the levels. It's mind-bending. I've never played it, but it's mind. Chess by itself is a little mind-bending. But to try to do it on these different levels, it's like, wow, it's just beyond me to do that. Where everybody is focusing on the regional conflict, Trump and the people with him are playing 3D chess. Now, what is that exactly? Well, all indications are Trump is reshaping both the national and international stage. He is moving globally while most are focusing on the regional conflicts. Victor Davis Hanson, I don't know if you know him, but I would recommend anybody listen to him. He is just fantastic. He has said that Trump is waging a political counter-revolution as an attempting to reverse or dismantle long-standing governmental and institutional trends in the U.S. There's also evidence, now this is my words, there's evidence that he is actively suppressing worldwide tyranny, putting tremendous pressure on our global enemies. Now, how is he doing this with going into Iran? Well, let me start with Venezuela and South America. In Venezuela, he's taken out approximately 40 drug boats, bombed them to smithereens. They're down at the bottom of the ocean. And he has worked with Mexico to get rid of El Mencho, the leader of the Jalisco New Generation drug cartel. They have put the drug cartels on notice, and that is what the Shield of the Americas is all about. The leaders, the presidents of these countries are getting together, and they're saying, we're stopping the drug cartels from operating. They're on notice. Also, Trump stopped the illegal shipments of oil to Russia, China, and Cuba, seizing oil tankers. All of these are enemies of the USA that are coming from Venezuela. They had this whole subversive move to get oil to Russia and to China through Venezuela, and they were doing it illegally. And the administration has gone in and seized those oil tankers. Then also he captured Maduro and his wife, who are now sitting in the jail, like I previously told you, without losing a single life. Getting in there, there were 200 enemy, or we were the enemy combatants going in. Not one person was lost. There were some injured, but not one was lost, and they lost over 80 defendants or the combatants when they went in. Now, the U.S. is calling it a lethal kinetic operation. And it's an operation where they used helicopters, aircraft, riverboats, and drones to locate and bomb drug traffickers, training camps in northern Ecuador. I don't know if you saw this, but the Ecuadorian government called up Trump and said, hey, could you come down and take care of this problem for us? We showed up and bombed them, bombed their whole operation that had about 50 people there making drugs, and it was more or less a training compound for the cartels. Blew it to smithereens because Ecuador asked for it. He's going to South America. He's reclaiming South America. It used to be called the Monroe Doctrine. Now it's the Donroe Doctrine. He's going down there, and he's taking care of South America and Central America, and he's stopping the drug cartels, which are killing thousands upon thousands of Americans because of the drugs. And they are financed by China and Russia and Iran. So he's going, no more of this. This is going to stop, and it's going to stop now. He is not waiting. Then there's Greenland. And you go, yeah, that was in the news, wasn't it? And he said, we want to make it the 51st state, right? Make green, take it from Denmark. They're doing nothing up there. And he brought attention to Greenland. Why is Greenland so important? It's closer to us than it is to Denmark. It's because China and Russia can go around the Arctic and come down, whether it's with missiles or ships or whatever they want to do. And it's a strategic area, and it has vast amounts of strategic minerals there as well. Now, what was he proposing to do? Of course, he just wanted to take it over. But they're still in talks, but it looks like Trump is going to secure expanded U.S. military access to parts of Greenland, potential rights or property access to mineral resources, greater U.S. security presence in the Arctic, and long-term access to Greenland, even if it becomes independent in the future. Trump said the U.S. would have total access and military access under the arrangement. And they are negotiating these things, but it's looking promising that that's exactly what's going to happen. And so Trump is placing himself strategically, or placing us strategically, around the world. Now, what about Iran? Now, so far, we have Venezuela, South America, Ecuador. We have Maduro. We have his wife. We have Greenland. It looks like we're acquiring the ability to be there. And then there's Iran. Trump blew up the nuclear program and has demanded their complete and total surrender. When have you seen that from a president? It's just managed conflict. There's not this idea of going in, well, we're going to win this war and you're going to surrender. That was World War II, the last time you saw something like that. Israel killed all the radical Islamic leadership in one fell swoop. Did you hear about that? They never thought that Israel would attack during the day. And so all the leaders got together. They were going to vote on who could be a leader, and they're having lunch or dinner or whatever they were having. And Israel said, now's the time. And they went in and they blew up the compound. 49 people, I heard, saw. 40, 47, 48, 49. We don't know, but they're all dead. The Ayatollah, he's gone. One of the congressmen said, may he rest in pieces. You know that? And it's like, okay, because he is just so evil, probably demon-possessed. Well, then missile launches, or launchers, are being destroyed every time they seek to launch. What happens is they have these mobile missile launchers. They bring them in, and as soon as they get ready to launch them, they have a signal that a satellite picks up, and drones in the area go, oh, there's one, and they launch something right away and destroy it within seconds or minutes of them turning it on. And they're destroying the launchers. If you've seen how many missiles are actually coming out of Iran now, it's just dwindling. It's going down and down and down. They're running out of missiles. They have destroyed the factories where they make them. They have destroyed the stores where they have these, and they're going after the missile launchers one at a time. And also their military installations. They're going and they're bombing those as well. Now, Iran is on its third attempt to pick leaders, and whoever that leader is going to be, if it's the same regime, they're next. Israel will take them out next. We cannot do that. According to an executive order by President Reagan, he said that the United States cannot go in and assassinate a leader of another country. But Israel doesn't have that restriction. And so Israel is going in and they're killing the leaders of this particular regime. The Navy in Iran is sitting at the bottom of the ocean. Over 30 ships have been sunk. Trump has targeted the military infrastructure, and the U.S. is doing its best not to harm civilians. Vast majority of the citizenry in Iran and worldwide are in favor of the military action currently being waged. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy." Have you seen the videos, especially of Iranian women? They jump up, they scream, they're in tears, they're hugging, they're just rejoicing, and there's all of these get-togethers, I don't want to call them protests, they're so happy. Worldwide, they are happy that the mullahs are gone. Iran made a monumental mistake by bombing its neighbors, and there's all kinds of theories as to why they did this. But, and I'm not going to go too much in that, but they thought that they could cause global economic chaos by bombing oil refineries and planes and airports and all of that, and they miscalculated badly. And what Trump tried to do, he was having difficulty doing it, was getting all the countries in the Middle East that were not Iran together to go against Iran. What he had trouble doing, they did in about 2 days. They're all saying now, okay, Iran is done. Whoever they are done. And you got Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, you got all those countries over there saying, we're going, we're with the United States, and we're going to help take out Iran. And Trump, like I said, he has targeted the military in Iran, and Trump has effectively stopped the movement of oil out of Iran and into China and some into Russia. Now, there is so much more to the details in Iran, but in the interest of time, I only have 10 minutes. The last one I'm going to give you is England. And you go, what does England have to do with anything? I'm glad you asked. Keir Starmer, he forbade the U.S. from using military bases on their territories to launch the action against Iran. Diego Garcia, it is an island in the Indian Ocean. And they said, no, you can't launch from there. And of course, if Trump wanted to, he could anyhow. You can't stop him. But he agreed to that. He's following all the laws. And even now, I just read, 2 days ago, they're sending 2 aircraft carriers now. They're going, well, maybe we made a mistake on that. Yeah, you think? You think you didn't help the United States? And what do you think Trump has done? This is where it gets good. 2 people have been arrested. One is Prince Andrew. The other one is Peter Mandelson. We know they're associated with the Epstein files, right? Prince Andrew was in charge. He was like the liaison for trade around the world. The globalist entity that wants to control everything is based in England, specifically in London. You have Lloyd's of London, which is an insurance carrier. They carry the big stuff. They carry all the ships that are on the sea. Actually, 40% of the ships, there are other companies that do it. But they handle 40% of the shipping that goes through the waterways of the earth. When the oil tankers went up to the Straits of Hormuz and wanted to go through, they called up the ships and the owners said, you better not, unless you're paying 3 to 5 times the insurance rates, or no, we're just going to drop you. That's what Lloyd's of London said they're going to do. So no traffic could go through the Straits of Hormuz. And so this presented a problem. What did Trump do? Trump goes, fine, we'll start an insurance that is backed by the United States of America, and we will escort the tankers through the Straits of Hormuz with our U.S. military and merchant marine if necessary. And somebody suggested that Trump should make the registry of these ships, it must be the United States if you want the insurance. Do you see what's going on? He's going to get billions of dollars for the United States. And because of that, Lloyd's of London will not be able to rise to the level of the United States. They won't be able to offer the insurance for the same rates as the United States is offering it. Therefore, they'll go out of business. And everybody will flock to the United States for the insurance and the escort to go through the Straits of Hormuz. I'm not done. The oil in Venezuela that was going to China is no longer going to China. It's no longer going over to Russia. The oil now effectively has been shut off from Iran that also goes to China, who invested $100 billion in the infrastructure in Iran. and also into Venezuela. China does not produce their own oil. They have no oil. They have to get oil on the world market. They have to pay dollars. They were trying to do this thing with BRICS, where you had India and China and Russia, and they were going to try to switch the currency and dissuade anybody from going with America. Now they can't. Because also China, like the United States, we have the Pacific West Coast, we have the East Coast. It's wide open to the ocean. We can have ports all up and down. China doesn't have that. They have to go through these narrow passages to get around Japan, to skirt down by South Korea, to go through Indonesia and those areas. Very narrow, and they could be stopped very easily. Us? Not so much. Now, imagine the Straits of Hormuz is being governed by Trump and our administration, our government. And China comes along and says, hey, I want to move some oil through here. And Trump goes, not so fast. Or go ahead, take your chances. Let's see if you're going to get through. And so China has to go to Trump and grovel and say, we'd like to get some oil through. And Trump's going to say, just a minute. There's some stuff you need to take care of before we're going to allow you to move oil. And by the way, China only has 90 to 100 days of oil reserves. They have stopped all exporting of their gasoline and diesel. They can bring oil in and refine it, but they don't have any of their own oil. They can effectively, our administration can shut down China. Now, would that be bad on the world economic scale? Yes, it would. Could it go that way? Yes, it could. How many products do you get at Walmart from China? Could you see those coming to a halt? And so there may be a little bit of lack in the United States. And they're also saying there's going to be, quote unquote, an oil shock, possibly, if this continues for too long. So Trump is playing 3D chess. He is stopping Venezuela. He is stopping Iran. He's making China bow the knee, as well as Russia. And Ukraine just blew up a 1,500-foot natural gas transporting ship. And normally the United States wouldn't allow that to happen. Because, you know, we're supplying arms to Iran. And it's kind of like, oh, did that happen? I didn't see that. And the United States is kind of walking away. And so Russia, China, Iran, Venezuela, South America, they are all having to bow the knee to Trump and the administration. Now I ask you, do you see 3D chess going on? What is going on the world stage? It's like Trump. Yeah, and I don't know if it's just him or his advisors. He's setting the United States as the pinnacle, the superpower of the world. Even George Will, who hates Trump, said finally deterrents have been reinstalled. He's thrilled, and he doesn't like Trump. You cannot hide your head in the sand and say that things are not going good, that God is directing these things. I don't think it's quote-unquote Trump. I think it's God. God is directing these leaders. He's putting us in a good position. And now we just need to focus more as well on the United States, what's going on with Islam encroaching into the United States and changing some of these DEI rules and laws. And I say go. Go, Trump, go. Go, administration, go. Continue on the track. But I do not want you guys being deceived that it's this regional conflict that the Israel, the tail is wagging the dog, the United States, to take out Iran. That's not what's going on. What's going on is a reshuffling of the world order, the putting down of the globalists, and Trump saying, this is not going to happen on my watch. Are there people who want Trump taken out? You know, they just convicted a guy of trying to assassinate Trump that was paid by Iran. That just came through. So at least three times, and there's probably dozens more, they have tried to kill Trump. So I give you all this information because of the worldview. Is it a good thing that this has taken place? Well, let's apply it. Ask yourself the question, is it good or is it bad for the people of the United States what Trump is doing? It's good. Is he acting in our best interest? with a biblical basis for doing so. He's suppressing evil. He's rescuing people. He doesn't want our own citizens to die. He doesn't want anybody to die in wars. He's taking these temporary conflicts and he's using them for our benefit. Is he following the laws according to the Constitution of the United States, Congress, and the judiciary? Yes, he is. Even though he doesn't want to, he is. And is all this in accordance with God's plan? Do you ever worry about what is happening on the world stage? I don't think we have to worry. We have been blessed here. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21 says, he controls the course of the world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. God is controlling what is going on, and we are seeing something historic take place. Even John McCain was threatened by Trump becoming the president because he said, and I'm trying to quote what he said, he is going to wipe out everything we've been working on since World War II, which is the globalist agenda. He was part of that. You know, so may God give you wisdom as you hear the media out there. If you see these influencers and these podcasters and these news reports saying, oh, evil Israel, yeah, that is just a minor thing compared to what is going on globally. And not only are the communist countries worried, but the spiritual enemy is trying to figure out what to do because God is winning the battle. How long will it last? It will last maybe until the Antichrist. I don't know. Maybe shorter. We don't know. But it's for a time such as this that we were born, and we need to be wise in the way we communicate and how we pray for the leaders around us. Well, let's do that. Let's pray. Father, we understand that you are a multi-level chess player, and you have given wisdom, at least in this country, that we can be blessed because we are standing for justice and what is right, at least on the surface, Lord. You have told us that the hearts of men are wicked continually and there's no cure. But for some reason, Lord, you have chosen at this time to suppress evil. And we give you thanks for that. We ask that it would continue and that we wouldn't get sidetracked by these little skirmishes in the media and podcasters and influencers. That we'd pay attention to what is going on and constantly be praying. First, for your will to be done. Second, for the protection of the United States and its citizens. And third, for the innocents around the world. May you be glorified through all of this, Lord. In Jesus' name, the church said. Please stand.